Avager looked very dubious about the whole venture, but Hawser thought that now he had made it clear nobody was going to be allowed to stay on the ship, the old man would accept this rather than go to the trouble of arguing about it. Nysin, he wasn't sure about. He had been drinking as much as ever, been quieter than Hawser remembered him, but while he didn't like being bossed around and told what he could and couldn't do, he was obviously fed up being stuck on the clear air turbulence and had already been out for a walk in the snow while Wubslin and Hawser were looking at the Medjel suit. Boredom would make him follow, if nothing else. Hawser wasn't worried about the machine, Unahar Klosp. It would do as it was told, like machines always did. Only the culture let them get so fancy they really did seem to have wills of their own. As for Peristek Balveda, she was his prisoner. It was as simple as that. "Easy in, easy out," Yalsen said. She smiled, shrugged, and looking round at the other said, "What the fuck? It's something to do, isn't it?" Nobody disagreed. Hawser was reprogramming the cat's fidelities once more, entering the computer's new instructions through a worn but still serviceable touchboard, when Yalsen came onto the flight deck. She slipped into the co-pilot seat and watched the man as he worked. The touchboard's illuminated display threw the shadows of Moraine characters over his face. After a while, she said, looking at the markings on the illuminated board, "Moraine, eh?" Hawser shrugged. "It's the only accurate language I and this antique share." He tapped some more instructions in. "Hey," he turned to her, "you shouldn't be in here when I'm doing this." He smiled to show her he wasn't serious. "Don't you trust me?" Yalsen said, smiling back. "You're the only one I do," Hawser said, turning to the board again. "It doesn't matter anyway for these instructions." Yalsen watched him for a little longer. "Did she mean a lot to you, Hawser?" He didn't look up, but his hands paused over the touchboard. He stared at the illuminated characters. "Who?"
"Hawser,"
Yalsen said gently. He still didn't look at her. "We were friends," he said, as though talking to the touchboard.
"Yeah, well," she said after a pause, "I suppose it must be pretty hard anyway, when it's your own people."
Hawser nodded, still not looking up. Yalsen studied him for a little longer.
"Did you love her?"
He didn't reply immediately. His eyes seemed to inspect each of the precise, compact shapes in front of him, as though one of them concealed the answer. He shrugged.
"Maybe," he said. "Once."
He cleared his throat, looked briefly round at Yalsen, then leaned back to the touchboard.
"That was a long time ago."
Yalsen got up then, as he went back to his task, and put her hands on his shoulders.
"I'm sorry, Hawser."
He nodded again and placed one hand over hers.
"We'll get them," she said, "if that's what you want. You and..."
He shook his head, looked round at her. "No. We go for the mind. That's all. If the Adirans do get in the way, I won't care, but... no, there's no point in risking more than we have to. Thanks, though." She nodded slowly.
"That's all right."
She bent, kissed him briefly, then went out. The man gazed at the closed door for a few moments, then turned back to the board full of alien symbols. He programmed the ship's computer to fire warning, then lethal laser shots at anybody or anything approaching it, unless they could be identified by the distinctive electromagnetic emission signature of the suit as one of the Free Company. In addition, it required Hawser's, Craiklin's, identity ring to make the cat's elevator work and, once on board, to take control of the ship itself. Hawser felt safe enough doing this. Only the ring would let them take over the ship, and he was confident nobody could take that from him, not without a greater risk to themselves than even a squad of mean and hungry Adirans could provide. But it was possible that he might be killed, and the others might survive. Especially for Yalsen, he wanted them to have some sort of escape route that didn't depend totally on him. They took down some of the plastic boarding in the changer base so that if they did find the mind, they'd be able to get it through. Doralo wanted to bury the dead changers, but Hawser refused. He carried each of them to the tunnel entrance and left them there. He would take them with him when they left, return them to Habor. The natural freezer of Shah's world's atmosphere would preserve them until then. He looked down at Kirikel's face for a moment, in the waning light of late afternoon, while a bank of clouds coming in from the frozen sea built over the distant mountains and the wind freshened. he would get the mind. He was determined to, and he felt it in his bones. But if it came to a firefight with the ones who had done this, he wouldn't shrink from it. He might even enjoy it.